There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write for the Greenspun Media Group, the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com, and I write for The Sunday, our weekly magazine, and also for Las Vegas Weekly and all the other titles in Greenspun Media Group. Joining me, fresh from the Big Sky Country, which is Montana, yay, is co-host and my dear friend, Tricia McCrone. Trish?
I've missed you, Catsy. I've missed you, number one. I swear I came back like 30 hours from the beginning of June. Like, that's how long I've been away. And so thank you for holding down the fort and covering for me and my time away. My time away. You know, it makes me seem like I'm such like a rebel. I'm such a baller. You know, when I was
during
my time away.
Travels.
Yeah, during my, like I was put in jail or something. During my time away. But I got to say, it's still flipping hot.
Summer has hung around.
Okay, now I came, keep in mind, literally about 8 days ago, I was on an ATV tour in the mountains in Montana. And I was in an ATV tour in Montana, and I was wearing gloves and a hat and a scarf and a winter coat.
And that was when?
That was, it'll be 2 weeks today that the show airs.
I can't even believe that.
And I woke up the day before that with some snow on my back patio.
God, that's not a euphemism.
No, yeah, exactly.
That actually happened.
It did actually happen. It's crazy. But I have been, though, enjoying I've been keeping up with everything, enjoying reading the Cats Report.
Yeah.
And we got to see each other my first day back at the Sesquicentennial.
Yes.
It took me a long time to learn how to say that
Sesquicentennial
properly.
Show. It does take a while to learn how to roll that one off the tongue. It's a Sesquicentennial, 150 years is what that means, and that was the Sesquicentennial All-Star Show at the Smith Center at Reynolds Hall on Monday night. And we were both honored and thrilled to be involved in some capacity.
I know. Like, it was amazing.
It was really fun.
I tweeted it. It was like the who's who mm-hmm. of people in Vegas that it was like – you know, I mean, on the lineup, you had Jersey Boys. You had different choirs I didn't know. You had Jerry Lewis, amazing Jerry Lewis, you know, coming out. You had Bob Anderson, who I did not recognize. I mean, when Wayne Newton was at the Stardust and I was, you know, working for him there, Bob Anderson was in another room there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, and so sometimes he would come by backstage or whatever. I literally did not recognize him. He looks so much like Frank Sinatra.
Done in all that makeup that is part of his stage show.
Yeah. Which you
Sinatra.
Said is wonderful. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, my goodness. He is so good. And yeah, he's walking around dressed as Frank Sinatra. And you've got him and Jerry Lewis and
Dina,
Wayne.
And there was Dina Martin, who we met when we did co-hosted a benefit for Michaelina Bellamy, who sadly passed away years ago. She was part of that. And so it was very neat that you had Wayne there. You had Bob Anderson looking like Frank Sinatra. You had Jerry Lewis there.
The real Jerry Lewis.
You had the real Jerry Lewis there. And then you had Dean Martin's daughter, which it was very cool. And Clint Holmes, oh my gosh, Hallelujah, with a choir behind him was breathtaking.
It was. All the Jersey Boys were there.
Yeah, it was. Mark Chinook, another one of our former guests, was there. I mean, we just – oh, and Lee and Dominic.
Lee Zimmerman, Dominic Allen, who've been with us before also.
Yes, and who we co-hosted that event with. We met Dina's. It was one of those nights that was just, it was truly magical. And congrats, kudos to Myron Martin.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Who, you know, who put the whole thing together, who has been on the show. Oh, by the way, I have to give a shout out to Myron.
Yes, do it.
Because I have been told, I haven't been able to hear the show yet because I was traveling in a car with a lot of dogs 15 hours back to Vegas, that Myron very much missed me and kept asking about me, and that you would kind of brush over it, and he kept saying, no, where's the dish? He told me that he was very sad that I wasn't here. So I have to give him a thank you.
The part about him asking about you is true. I don't remember brushing aside.
Oh, well, that's what Myron told me. So, but I, you know, and I understand.
And before the show, before we're on air, he's like, "Where's Trish? Where's Trish?" And I was trying to appease him, but we did the show anyway.
I thank you, Myron, and thank you everybody who came on in my stead to do my time away. Time I was put away. Thank you for everyone who came on and did host chat with you and all of that.
Yeah,
that was a lot
of
fun.
Good.
It's nice for everyone to get a little flavor and be you can
yeah.
now.
Yeah, but Myron missed you, but not nearly as much as I missed you because he was just on that one show and I was on for the other shows that he wasn't on.
I love you.
We did. We did talk about the sesquicentennial.
Oh,
lead
Frankie Marino! We forgot Frankie Marino.
Geez,
oh my gosh! How could you forget Frankie Marino?
What a performance! I know I introduced him. Norm Clark and I, Norm from the RJ, and I were honored to be asked to do a bit.
It was great to see
early
Norm
in
there.
In the show, and it was
another
great to
Montana
work with
lover.
Him. It was great to work with Norm on that. We did some shtick. We were like working on it right up until we walked out. And when we walked out, I was like, is this going to work at all? We're going to do this.
But well, it's very rare that you two would share a platform, yeah, a microphone together.
We did. If you follow us on Instagram and Twitter, we have a selfie of us with the audience in the background. That was really funny. That was really cool. We turned around and I took a selfie of Norm and I. And
That's
it was fun
awesome.
To do that. We met at SLS the day of and worked out some shtick and a routine. So thank him. Thanks to Myron Martin and Paul Beard over there at the Smith Center and all the entertainers.
Yeah,
the choirs,
I'm forgetting so many people.
All those, you know, the lounge segment with Lorraine Hunt Bono and Dennis Bono was killer. Wayne's talk at the end was fantastic. Clint, hallelujah. I mean, it was
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it was on and on and on. And I know
and
I am
on.
So forgetting so
yeah,
many
but
people.
But read about
so
it in the
bad.
Cats report. I got everybody listening.
There we go, because I, you know, I got all excited. But I do want to say, speaking of the fact that I'm back and I have to do this, Wayne Newton. Obviously, someone very personally close to myself and to you, and Richard Sturm, the president of entertainment for MGM Mirage, mm-hmm. are being honored next week at the Casino Entertainment Awards, the G2Es for the Global Gaming Expo
right.
next
honor.
Wednesday at the Hard Rock. So, big congratulations! Richard Sturm is one of he is one of the most incredible people here yeah. in this town. He's done so much for Vegas entertainment.
He's brought a lot in, and that is no lie. Those are big names. Richard, from among other things, brought Penn and Teller to Bally's. That's yeah. how far back he goes.
I had the pleasure of working with him a lot in regard to when Wayne was at MGM many times at the Hollywood Theater. So, but him and his wife are just lovely, lovely people, and. Congratulations to them. I think they can't pick two better yeah. people to receive this award next Wednesday. And
awesome.
By the time next week's show airs, it will be over.
Well, we are going to first hand the show over to Josh Bell, who's going to talk a little movies. And then coming up as our guest this week is one of the leads in Rock of Ages, Justin Mortoletti. And he's got a lot going on other than the show. So stick around. I know we will.
We love Las Vegas. We love Las Vegas.
I can keep going, brick by brick, dollar by dollar, body by body. Or you can call your boss and tell him to shut down his operation tonight.
That's Denzel Washington as former government operative Robert McCall, the title character in The Equalizer. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Washington is convincingly world-weary and taciturn as McCall, living a quiet life in Boston until he decides to take on the men who beat up a local prostitute, played by Chloe Grace Moretz. If The Equalizer were an episode of the 1980s TV show upon which it's based, it would wrap up its central plot about the Russian mafia in less than half the time, but instead it drags on past the two-hour mark. Through it all, Washington manages to remain likable, and his wry presence enlivens what can be a drab, dreary film. I give The Equalizer 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the stop-motion animated movie The Box Trolls.
I told you we don't eat people.
Why do you keep saying we? You're not one of them. You're a boy.
No, I'm not. I'm a box troll. Eggs, the box troll.
The title characters, trolls who wear cardboard boxes like turtle shells, are actually quite friendly and cute. But a diabolical exterminator voiced by Ben Kingsley wants to eradicate them. The third film from stop-motion animation studio Laika, The Box Trolls isn't quite as affecting or idiosyncratic as the studio's first two, Coraline and Paranorman, but it's still entertaining and inventive. It's a simple story delivered with maximum attention to detail and plenty of droll, dry humor. I give The Box Trolls 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. You were just listening to a snippet of a song that is sung and performed by our guest right now. The song's called My Silver. The EP, which is a short CD, is called The Prince of April, Justin Mortoletti.
Welcome.
Yay. Hey. Is the artist. I'm showing you your own CD,
oh, like
EP.
You can see it. And
check it out, everybody. Thank you.
He looks really hot.
It's not like a mirror.
On the back, especially, his bodily regions are just banging. Looks so good. Banging. Check that out.
So the Prince of April features, shows you on the cover, and you're wearing a crown.
Yes.
Congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
Mr. Las Vegas.
I've been crowned.
Mr. Nevada, I should say.
I've been crowned the Prince of April.
No, he's been crowned the Prince of April. Why April? Yeah. Were you born in April?
No, and people always ask me that.
Because I was, so were you talking about me?
No, just maybe. Kidding. Maybe. I was August. It's the other A month. The Prince of April, it kind of was a metaphor for the Prince of My Own Tears. A lot of these songs came from songs written from a painful experience or a difficult experience and moving into the light. So it's kind of like the April showers bring May flowers.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I was the Prince of April.
It's
the Prince
a metaphor.
The Prince of the Showers, where things are, yeah.
Yeah, the slave to the trials and tribulations of life.
Right, and so it's a metaphor for that
yes.
kind of rebirth coming out of a...
out of a difficult time and into mm-hmm. the
light.
Chapter.
Well, let me tell you this. I have watched your video for this song quite a few.
I have a feeling you've watched it a lot
of times. I have. Well done,
that.
Bravo! By the way, so but you aren't seen. You're not really heartbroken in the video. You're kind of having a ménage à trois, as it were, in the video.
Yeah, it would appear that way, but that's not exactly
a ménage à trois.
What's happening? But it appears that way, which is the trick.
There you go. Well, okay, you're laying in a bed with a man on one side, a woman on the other side, and there's a lot of groping going on. So I'm not sure if I'm reading between the lines.
I'll explain
what the heck is going on.
And
with
how
you
many
in
times did you have to do where they licked your face at the same time? They both licked
just
your
twice.
Face. Okay,
we just did it twice.
Did the heebie-jeebie you or kind of turn you on?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, okay. Because I kind of just wanted to wipe your cheeks for you. So there you go.
No, well, the song, My Silver, it's kind of about, it's written about a relationship, and it's written about that person or thing, really, in your life that is your silver, that is the silver bullet that gets in your blood and holds you back. Or it's also the metaphor for your second place. You always shoot for your
silver
golden
medal.
Love for that person, and you're always winding up with the silver one, the person that gets in your blood and you can't get away from. So the male and female, I wanted both sexes to be in the video, the counterpart, because I want it to be, you know, connected to by all. And also, it's they're the metaphor for that person, the person who's holding you down. So when they were groping and holding me down in the bed, it was them, you know, entrancing me with their sexuality and keeping me there when I was trying to break free.
Gotcha.
In the end, when they licked my face, I then became silver, like they were painted with the silver glitter. So I caught their... I caught their disease. I got pulled into their trance, and I.
So they're applying their silver to you. They're not
exactly
revealing your silver.
Are you still finding
inside,
silver
that...
everywhere?
Implanting it. They're
it wasn't as if you had underlying silver. There's a difference in that metaphor, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like their silver gets into your own blood, and then you're stuck. And who knows? That person who was the silver may have been the gold all along. You don't know, but. They're the ones who take control and you can't seem to get away from.
Right.
But they're pretty hot. I don't know if you'd want to get away from that.
Yeah, I was fine with it during the shoot. It was cool.
Where did you find – who are they? Who are those?
They're actually dancers from Rock of Ages,
okay.
Terrence Spencer and Selena Nightingale.
Okay.
They're both in the show. Terrence recently left the show to move back to Los Angeles, but Selena's still there with me.
Now, is this recorded in Las Vegas?
It was.
The EP, where did you do the work?
A lot of it at the Palms, the studio at the
studio
Palms.
Studio at the Palms?
Yeah,
Pat and Zoe Thrall.
Yeah,
Pat worked with you on this. Did he master it or?
No, he didn't. I had a separate mastering team, and my producer came in. We kind of just rented the studio space.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
They had an engineer there to make sure to run things
nice
smoothly.
Nice place. Huh?
Yeah, I got to sign the wall.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
Tell about the wall. Yeah, in the studio
great,
of the Palms.
It's right outside the studio, and it's just all different color markers, and anyone who recorded there signs the wall. So it's anyone you can imagine has written their name on there, and I signed right under Katy Perry.
Yeah, Katy Perry, Jamie Foxx, The Killers.
Yeah,
Beyonce has been in there.
Beyonce was on the wall.
Uh-huh. I would have written my name bigger than Katy Perry.
I think I tried to keep it the same size, but I did write The Prince of April a little bit bigger.
There you go.
Since it's royalty.
Now, you've got a band project that's outside the show also.
I try to say I'm a solo artist, singer, songwriter, because I don't really – I mean, I play with a band when I play live shows, mm-hmm. but I don't have a steady band that I travel with or that I play with. It's kind of just – I work with the musicians. They learn the music when I have a show.
Okay.
But it's kind of just me.
There you go.
Yeah.
And now you're getting ready to record your second video. Song?
It's a song called Try.
Which is a duet with someone named Jenny somebody.
Jenny Delish. She was on the last season of The Real World. And actually, it's funny because I hadn't watched that show in a long time and I got pulled in.
I hadn't either. What city was it?
San Francisco.
Okay.
And it was Explosion, which means they put X's in the house for the first time.
Oh my gosh, I watched that show.
She's the blonde.
The blonde that...
real funny one.
Yeah, she got a little busy on the first night with one of the people. Yeah, in a bear suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was quite the season.
I'd love to talk to her.
She's great. She's actually really awesome. And I thought she was funny the whole season long. She was clearly their favorite. She was in a lot of the footage. They had a lot of storylines.
She's most outrageous, but I know she's...
Yeah. Saying, and she, well, I was trying to find someone to sing on this EP with me, and I saw her singing on the show, goofing around, and I'm like, this girl's kind of got a good voice. And I knew that some friends of mine from LA knew her personally. So I said, will you ask her if she sings, if she's interested in singing? And they were like, sure. And so, yes, and yes. And so she said she would love to. And I flew her out to Vegas, we recorded, and now flying her back
to
do the video. They got back together, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's another story. But you know what I think needs to be in your new video?
What's that?
Some tumbling. Because I will never forget the first time that we interviewed you when you first came into Rock of Ages. I discovered that you were a former gymnast.
Yeah.
So I want to see some flips. Of course.
Tumbling.
I want to see some tumbling of all kinds.
I think at the adult level, we call it gymnastics at this point, don't we? This is tumbling for children.
I want to see some
tumbling's like, just the floor specific.
I want to see some big flips and like and shirtless. I think that would be like a slow-mo.
Show us how that's done, Dish.
Okay?
A slow-mo shirtless flip.
Yes. I think that would be really cool, like out of nowhere, like with rainwater like coming somewhere. It would be amazing.
You'll have to build the video around
I'm gonna produce this video,
act.
I've decided.
Maybe on the next one. This one's kind of like a Motown throwback.
Yes,
so there will
is.
Be dancing because it's that old school,
you
like
know what,
boy band Motown.
It reminded me of
dancing.
The Four Seasons kind of a beat. Like, you know, like the beat was very much, it reminded me of like a throwback type
it was kind
of
thing. I was inspired by Be My Baby specifically, the beat that's in that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create like a modern throwback kind of song. And I wanted it to be different from the rest of the songs on the album. And it turned out to be a lot of my friends' favorites. So I said, I guess this will be my next single.
Do you want to know what my favorite is?
Which one?
Out of Place.
Yeah?
I love that song. Like, I went through and I listened to, you know, I listened to the whole thing like 3 times. Like, I kept going through and I'm like, just to get a feel of what each one is about. Like, Night of the Living Dead was like a dance type of a beat type of thing. But I kept going back to that one, that was my favorite, Out of Place.
Thank you. That's the most, I would say, the most rock. Because I tried to have an eclectic, since it's an EP with just 5 songs, I want to do a little bit of each style, you know, a dance song, a pop song. Mm-hmm.
And you do the piano ballad with The Prince of April, is like a piano ballad.
And that was, we could talk about that one later, but that's another personal song to me. But this one, Out of Place, was more dark, more rock, more poetic than kind of plain and clear pop, where you know what I mean? You kind of have to think a little.
Well, I'm a little dark and bitter, so, you know, that's what it is.
So you appreciated it. No, I love that you said
that,
because a lot of people wouldn't pick that one, because it's a little different from the rest.
I did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So how do you market and sell this music, Justin? I mean, where does one sell an EP these days?
Well, physically, you can only get them right now at Rock of Ages. They're selling them
outside the theater
at the Rock Shop every night.
You know, we didn't even mention that you're Drew in Rock of Ages. You are the lead.
We haven't mentioned
that. You are the lead in
Rock
of Ages.
That's the power of your solo project, Justin.
I know. I was so taken aback by the back cover of the CD.
Justin plays. Here's the connection. Why is this guy, this independent artist, selling his music at Rock of Ages? Well, listeners. The connection is he's in the show. Yeah. There's the big reveal. He's Drew in the show and has been since it opened. So they permit you to sell your independent
music.
That's
very
nice.
They're great.
That's good.
Great.
And so what's the situation now with the show?
The show's doing well. It's about to November. We will be entering the third year. Well, since we got here to rehearse, I guess the show started performances in December. So it'll be the third year of the show. It's doing really well. We always have packed houses and people are going crazy and having a great time. And, you know, for me, it's just changed my life all around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I think I was in here, I was telling you one of my older songs got put on the radio because of the show. And that's actually initially why I got back in the studio to work on this music, because of the success of the show and what it was doing in my life. It kind of inspired me to... And gave me confidence to believe in myself that, I could I could record. I could do this.
And you were here with Carrie St. Louis and with, Kyle Lauder.
Kyle Lauder was in here then.
And Mark. You're the only, Mark Chinook was not here. It was just the three of them.
Oh, that's right. He was, that's right.
And you are the last man standing.
I am.
Is it hard having other cast members, like, come in and have to...
It is at first, because we miss your old friends and you create such a bond with them, but... very quickly, you find a new reason to love this new person, and it all turns around, you know, and it feels like home again.
Right.
But they're off in New York. Carrie's doing the Broadway show, Rock of Ages, and Kyle's living out there, too. So I'm actually planning on going there pretty soon.
Yeah, what's your situation? I've understood that you're going to time out and go out to other things. What's your schedule?
It'll be 2 years in, doing Rock of Ages, and it's time with this music and with everything that's happening. I want to move to New York City and you know, go for the next thing. Look for what's next for me.
Will that be a recording career? Will it be another show?
Broadway? What are you looking for?
I hope all of them. I'm actually going to get there and start, you know, going in for the Broadway things and you know, maybe Rock of Ages. Who knows? But I just want to open the door for that next thing. And with this music now, I hope that I can push it and have more time to push it further. And you know, hopefully maybe a label will... like what I'm doing and want to do a full album instead of just the EP next time.
Get somebody behind you financially.
So now are you technically leaving then when the contract's up in November?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a done deal.
Yeah, my final show is November 2nd.
Okay, I go away for 3 months and everything changes. Justin leaves. We got two of the four Jersey Boys leaving. Like, I mean, what is the world coming to, you guys?
There'll be a new guy in here. There'll be a new – it'll be a whole new,
I understand, but we will miss you in Vegas.
I'll miss it here, too. This place has been great.
Are you doing any live performances of this music?
Showcases?
At any time?
I did.
Before or after, even you're out of the show?
A few months back, I did. A couple of us got together, other performers in Vegas who have side projects, bands, and we did a little show. Right now, I'm focusing on getting this next video shot before I leave here. And then hopefully once I get to the East Coast, I'm from the East Coast originally, so I'll have a lot of people in Jersey who will come up to the city and see me play. So hopefully I'll set up some shows once I'm there.
I was that was a thing at Vinyl, right?
You're
talking about?
Yeah, you were there.
That's right. I forgot about that. Graham Fenton's band was there and yours, and there was a third.
And Martin
Short.
Martin Short. And Martin Short came out.
Short Martin.
Ed Grimley came out.
Let that out.
Ed Grimley.
I called him Martin Short the showcase the other night, but on purpose. But anyway, that was that's your
Yeah,
that
was
your
Broadway lineup. Rocks Vegas, I think we called it.
Right.
And that was the first time I performed my original stuff.
So have you looked into, I mean, is there a chance you and Carrie may be reuniting? Is the Drew planning on leaving out of New York?
I mean, right now Constantine's playing the role.
Oh, that's right. But he only does limited engagements all the time, doesn't he?
So yeah, I'm not quite sure what's happening once he's finished, but fingers are crossed. Mm-hmm. I'd love to. Like I said, I told the production team, I'm so grateful for this show and I'm not done with it in the least. I love coming to do the show every night. I'm not tired of it. And I would love to do it in New York. I just feel that... I want to get there to move on to the next thing with my music and with everything. I want to be in New York City for that.
Is that still at the – what theater is that? Helen Hayes?
Helen Hayes,
Yeah, that's an interesting
– Yeah, it's small and intimate. You feel like you're inside the bar.
You go in there and it's like a little rock concert. I love it. The audience at this show in New York treats it like a rock concert. They like get up in the middle of the scenes and go and grab a beer and come back and throwing frisbees around.
The strange thing is that I grew up living on the in the Midwest, but you know, close enough to the East Coast that our family would always go for the weekends to New York City, and we'd go see Broadway shows. We'd see like matinees and go to the Plaza for Sunday brunch and all of that. So it was sort of a family thing that I did growing up in musical theater, and I just sort of thought that the Broadway theaters were the most beautiful, magical places in the world. And then I see what we've built here in Vegas.
No doubt.
There is no comparison. The size, the production, the sets, the lights, everything. You can't even compare.
Yeah, it's very different.
I remember the original chandelier from Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. And then, you know, I see the chandelier we had here. I was like, are you kidding me?
It's epic.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, even though few Broadway shows are a success here, I mean, we do them right.
Well, and you're in one that has crossed over that does, you know, contemporary really and like rock music, or relatively contemporary, that is, you know, filled with people who have a musical theater background in a lot of cases. It's an interesting blend.
Yeah, it's cool. this show kind of was a perfect fit because it was rock music, mm-hmm. and I could kind of do my thing, but yet it's a Broadway musical, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool, and it's really pulled me back to my, you know, I grew up when I was little doing musicals, so getting this and doing this, mm-hmm. pulled me away from like, I want to be a rock star. I want to be a TV film. And it kind of pulled me back to like, I can still do musical theater and sing with my own voice and sing rock, you know?
Uh-huh. Is your heart in being a rock star? Where is it right now?
You know, right now, I think it's really taken me back and reminded me of like the little Justin who had his headphones on the beach listening to Les Miserables. And, you know, my brothers made fun of me so much that I probably like pushed that away a little bit and was like, I'm going to be a rock star and I'm going to be, you know, in the movies, and I moved to LA for 8 years. And doing this show really just reminded me of that, you know, mm-hmm. the little guy, Justin, who is like, I love this, and I love being on stage, and I love doing musicals. So that's why I'm going back to New York.
Yeah. Have you grown since you've been here artistically, do you think?
I think so, especially working on this project. Mm-hmm. You know, I wrote all of the songs, and I wanted to do it right, and I wanted to make it meaningful. A lot of stuff on the radio here now, a lot of the pop stuff these days is kind of surface level, or it's all great hooks, it's all great music, but lyrically it doesn't really go make the listener think or want to feel something
important.
I don't
listen to the radio a lot, but I have a 12-year-old niece who listened to XM Pop all summer, and I was listening to actually some of the lyrics, and I was like, kidding me? Like,
yeah.
This is the song? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, what was your favorite song? You said it was so personal to you. What was your favorite song on the CD?
It's so hard
EP,
to
sorry.
Pick. It's so hard to pick a favorite. I'd say writing-wise, the one that meant the most to me was The Prince of April, and that's why I made it the title track.
Why?
The song itself is about being in an abusive relationship, so it doesn't have to be physical. It's mental, that's, emotional. Yeah. It doesn't have to be boyfriend, girlfriend. It could be a parent, a friend. Just being in a relationship that brings you down, but you love the person so much that pain feels good. So it's a bit of a masochistic song. And I wrote it during a really difficult time, and so in sharing that, it was really cathartic for me, and I think in creating the song, hopefully someone can listen to it or see the video once I make a video one day and say, you know, I'm not alone in this, like I can relate to that. And that was the point I was getting to, Katz, is saying, as far as writing music and lyrics that mean something, that make people think and feel, it's important for people to hear something that they can relate to and can say, like, I'm not alone here in this. Other people have experienced this, and you know, whether it's a fun song or not fun song, I just want it to have some sort of meaning.
Well, I've listened to the whole thing many times. You can download the songs on iTunes. And one place where you are not alone, again, is in the music video for My Silver, so check that out. And your website is?
It's justinmortaliti.com. Mortaliti, M-O-R-T-E-L-L-I-T-I.
M-O-R-T-E-L-L-I-T-I.
We're excited you came on, and we will miss you in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Mortaliti. Catch him in Rock of Ages up until November 1st?
Second.
Second is the last night. Yeah. Well, we'll miss you in that production and overall, but I'm glad you had a chance to come in and visit us one
last
time.
And I love the haircut.
Yeah. And we love the haircut.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. And check out The Prince of April on iTunes.
You got it. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. We love Las Vegas. We love Las Vegas. Yes.